When I married my husband, someone gave us a piece of advice. Never go to bed angry. We've tried not to. Occasionally, we've had to stay up until 1 in the morning to finish an argument. But most of the time, we've been able to say, I'm sorry, and really mean it before going to sleep. It can be a struggle, though. So here's something I wish I'd known years ago. It turns out, the secret to forgiveness can be summarized in 4 easy steps, according to psychologist Robert Enright. He's one of the leading authorities on the science of forgiveness. He's even been called the father of forgiveness research. And he walked Charles Monroe Kane through the steps towards lasting forgiveness.
You first of all have to struggle against a resentment that could be yours for the rest of your life. And you try, as best you can, to offer a goodness toward the other who was not good to you. That is very active. That might take the form of a returned email or phone call or a smile or a good word about them. All that's very, very active. I think when people think about forgiveness as lying down and accepting the injustices, it's a misunderstanding of what it is.
But you see why people see it that way, right?
Sure.
There's an injustice done to them, whatever it is. And then you're like, well, if I don't get back at that person, or if there's not something done to that person, then I lose.
That's right. And there's another confusion, though, because forgiveness is a moral virtue. It goes back thousands of years to ancient Greece, but so does justice. And in fact, justice by Plato is considered to be the primary virtue. All the others revolve around it, including forgiveness. And we don't practice forgiveness in isolation. So when we forgive, we can get rid of our resentment, offer goodness to those who aren't being good to us, and then with greater clarity of mind, we can ask something of the other. With greater energy,
but you're forgiving first.
But you're
forgiving first, right?
You're forgiving first. But then with that clarity of mind and greater energy, you can live to, shall we say, fight another day.
Okay, I want to break this down. I have a mental illness. I hear voices. I take medication for it now, but most of my life I didn't. When I was a teen, there was a certain religious leader in my life that I felt exploited me, used my mental illness as they thought as a gift, and I think used me. You know, I'm 48 years old, so that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
So I am hitting the first step. I recognize that I'm angry. That's your first step.
That's right. You recognize you've been treated unfairly.
Yes, and I think I've been treated very unfairly, and I can articulate and understand it. So next is what? I got to decide to forgive?
Well, the next is, do you want to live your life with this guy living inside you for the rest of your life? Mm-hmm. And part of non-forgiveness is you can ruminate on him, dream about him. You might pass by a house of worship, and you remember him. It triggers. And the question is, do you want to be freed from that? So you don't just forgive. You examine how that injustice is affecting your life.
Right, got it. That makes sense. Okay.
Okay. So that's the first step, right?
So let's, for theoretical reasons here, let's say I decide to forgive this guy. Okay.
Yeah.
Hypothetically, I could say I want that. But in the real world, I'm not sure I want to forgive him.
Right.
What do you do with that?
Well, what you do with that is ask, why do you not want to? Do you think you're giving him something that you want to kind of hold over his head?
Oh, sure, right.
Okay? So, you know, if I don't forgive him, that's giving me power. Well, it might be giving you power, but it also might be giving you weakness, where, again, you're ruminating on him and he's bringing you down. So the question is, if you don't want to forgive him for him, where you don't want to be good for his sake, the first question is, do you want to be good for your sake, you see?
So, okay, let's say I forgive this guy, and I feel released from that, and it's a powerful experience for me. Now, working on forgiveness is the next step.
Yep.
For me and my situation, what would that mean? So I would do what?
Okay, first of all, you would know you'd be giving him a goodness he doesn't necessarily deserve, that you are willing to try this. You won't necessarily reconcile with him. You can forgive him and never see him again, especially if he would harm you again. You see, that's the deal. So then if you wanted to go ahead, the first thing we would do is have you take, again, with this idea of a wide-angle lens, start looking at this person in new ways. Okay, here would be some questions I would have for you. Who is this person who really hurt you? Is he only an exploiter who used your challenge for his gain? Is that all he is? And I'd ask you to truly examine that. And then I'd ask you this. What do you think his inner world is like? Hmm. If he exploits you and 100 others, what do you think his inner world is like as he lives his life day to day across time? Do you think he's happy? Do you think there might be a gnawing discontent or even guilt? And I wonder what it's like for him to live with that guilt. And I'd like you to just think about that for a moment.
But you seem, you know, I hear you talking, but I'm like, I can imagine if something was done to me that was really deep, you know, you're raped, someone's right. killed in your family, sure. you'd be like, what do I have to have empathy for this guy for?
You don't. The point is, you have to first get over the trauma. See, forgiveness is not a magic button we push. That's a misunderstanding. Forgiveness is a pathway. It's a journey, and it unfolds. Mm-hmm. You first have to allow yourself time to mourn, to be angry. There's nothing wrong with being angry.
Right.
I think it's a natural protective emotion. It's just when it gets out of control that we have a problem. So I think if you said, why the heck should I forgive this guy? I would be with you. Mm. I would say, right, why should you? You have to heal first. And then if that comes up, then we'll talk about it. But if we jump to forgiveness first, we're doing you a disservice.
Does it ever end? Does the journey ever end? Is there a moment where you say, I'm released from this?
Well, is there ever an end to a journey of being physically fit? If you think about it, you can become forgivingly fit. I think it's the same thing with forgiveness. Mm-hmm. We get to what we might call a tipping point, where we realize that the work we have done is paying dividends internally. Mm. I am quieter. I am less anxious. I am less angry, which may want me to continue going on. But we should never hold that out as now a pressure, a norm, that because person A did it, person B must. Because forgiveness is a choice. It's your freedom to accept this and go forward or not. It's up to you. So when people don't want to forgive, I say, let's not put pressure on them to do so.
Now, we're talking a lot of what we're talking about in the micro level between me and you, which right. makes sense. I talk about somebody we did an interview about this person. His name is General Butt Naked. You probably know who he is. He was the warlord leader of the Children Brigade in Liberia.
I do. I remember that.
And he changed. He converted to Christianity, and he went through Liberia and basically crawled across the country begging for forgiveness. Mm. How do you mend a place like Liberia with that much complicated pain?
I'm working in Liberia as you speak.
Well, there you go.
There, yeah, in Monrovia. And it's helping the children to learn to forgive, but gently and quietly. I just gave a Skype session to Monrovia recently, and then we had a question and answer through Skype, and the first child came up, looked into the little camera of the computer and said very innocently, how can I forgive the person who killed my mother? And I thought, oh my goodness, I've got to teach a class today. I'm on the floor here, kid. Okay, and I did the best I could. And I said, you have to take your time. And then the next child came up and said, I loved my sister so, and she was killed in the Civil War. Can I forgive the person? And by that, I was flat out I was gone for the day. When you get to a situation like this, you do seem to have champions of forgiveness who are, let's like Martin Luther King mm-hmm. Jr., okay? And it's usually a heroic act when there are grave, grave injustices. But we have to realize it's going to take a lot of time.
Right.
And we can't go in there with a few books and a few curriculum guides for forgiveness education and say, now that we're here, let's get on with it. We have to see the people as they are. They're gravely wounded on all levels.
Sure.
Okay? But unless they do something, I'm really concerned that the anger level and the despondency could go on for decades, if not centuries.
That's incredible. It's so incredible to think about in places like Liberia and even in Ireland where it's done on purpose. Well, rape will be done to impregnate women from a different tribe so that the child is hated, and they're trying to give you reasons not to forgive.
That's right.
But I guess you got to move. If you can't move on, there needs to be justice. I understand that.
Right.
But if you can't interpersonally move on, you're just done.
That's the deal. See, what happens is then you suffer the injustice twice. You suffer all of this brutality, and it's starkly evil. Let's call it what it is.
Sure.
But now you also could be done in by the effects of that evil. In other words, other words, how I am responding to it. And you can then infect your children and their children's children's children with a gnawing resentment that becomes normative in a society and becomes part of how they live.
Yeah.
And now they've suffered twice. And the enemy could be doing their work, even though the enemy is long dead, they could be doing their work 100 years from now in the hearts of those who don't know how to cast off the resentment.
Psychologist Robert Enright talking with Charles Monroe Kane.